Do 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 do.
Tom, what are you doing? Tom, where's my music?
Well, I have a kind of a problem here. Gee, it's funny. You notice I don't have my cart machine isn't working, and I can't play your theme song. So I thought I'd just go ahead and do your theme song. It'll be ready in about another 25-26 minutes. It'll take to fix the cart machine.
Oh. So you're going to hum my theme for me?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's... I didn't know what else to do. You didn't like that organ music that I had up last time, so I thought maybe I'd just try to imitate your own.
Okay, well, we'll work around it. Let's give it a go.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy brought to you every Friday night here on KCRW. Tonight, we're going to be listening... Tonight we're going to be listening to the work of Peter Sellers and Irene Handel, most especially featuring Irene Handel. Irene Handel was born on December 27th, 1901 in London. And she was a delightful... Actually, I shouldn't even be speaking in the past tense because, for all I know, she's still alive. And she's a delightful character comedian of the British stage, films, and television. She made her stage debut in 1937 and later appeared in many plays and films, most notably some of the really wonderful Ealing comedies out of Britain in the... 50s and 60s, such as Two-Way Stretch, I'm All Right, Jack. She was in a bunch of the St. Trinian's movies. And that's great. I think I'll just continue on here. And she was in the Wrong Box, the Private Life of Sherlock Holmes, the last remake of Bojest, and all sorts of movies. If you've ever seen her, you know who I'm talking about, and perhaps you'll recognize her from her voice because she has a very recognizable voice. One of the great British character actresses. And in 1959, Peter Sellers made a record called Songs for Swingin' Sellers, which was produced by George Martin, who went on to produce the Beatles records. I played quite a bit from that record in the Peter Sellers show I did back in, I think it was March. And there was one piece on it entitled Shadows on the Grass, and it was written by Irene Handel and features Irene Handel and Peter Sellers. And we'll start with that, and then we'll hear a piece from a record that was made 20 years later, Peter Sellers' last album, a record entitled Sellers Market. And they got back together again, and again, it was Irene Handel that wrote the piece, and it features the same characters. And that piece is considerably longer and is entitled The Whispering Giant. But let's start from Songs for Swingin' Sellers, a Peter Sellers album from 1959. Here's Irene Handel and Peter Sellers with Shadows on the Grass.
Hello. I've been watching you. I say I've been watching you feeding the birds. Yes. I think you're marvellous. Aren't they sweet?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how anyone can be cruel to dumb animals, do you? I think it's worse than murder because they can't speak. Excuse his somewhat crude attire, won't you? I was catching up with my sunbathing. Hasn't it been gorgeous?
Beautiful weather, we have.
Yes, because I've tan a lot faster in a bikini, you know. But where's the use of frightening everybody to death?
My goodness, you would not frighten me, because when I saw you first, I said to myself, my goodness, what a beautiful woman. I would so very much like to know such a woman of beauty.
Oh, now I'll call that truly gallant. Shall I get up and take a bow?
Please take one, by all means.
You come here often, do you?
Well, I come here quite often, as I said, to feed this bird.
Yes.
Because I love the open air.
Well, it's very nice, isn't it? I mean, it's private without being insulated, if you know what I mean. I can see you're like me. I will not go into a public park and mingle with a hoi polloi.
I quite agree. I like to keep myself to myself.
Oh, aren't there some shocking people about? I mean, even here. Well, there's one woman at our hotel. Well, she's more of a person, really.
Yes.
She fascinates me.
Really?
You know, anything in trousers she graviates to.
Really?
I think you scum. How plural can you get? And then they wonder, you know, that they end up as Exhibit A.
I'm so lonely, you know, that I want to have conversation with you or someone.
Ah, well, you've only yourself to blame, you know, because I can never resist a true gentleman.
Yeah.
My Jove, they hard to come by nowadays. I should know. I was married straight out of the schoolroom, you know, to the most perfect gentleman that ever trod the earth.
Really?
I can see him now. On our wedding day, the tears was rolling down his face. He was so conscious of his trust. He'd promised Pops and Mama. Of course, they thought the world's of me, you know. He'd promised Pops and Mama that I should never want, and my Jove, I never did. He gave me the most smashing home in Avalon Avenue. Do you know Dawson at all?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, they call it the Frinton of East Eight, so that'll give you some idea. Everything a woman's heart could yearn for.
He has obviously left you very well off money.
Well, yes, he did, but mind you, I've got the ample means to buy a splendid home any time I wish.
Uh-huh.
It was Tufnell's one prayer to leave me comfortably off. But
I'm very pleased to hear that.
They do me very well, you know, at my hotel. Do you know the Ralston at all? It's very, very select, and the manager is a charming chappy, Bill Urquhart, you know, ex-naval type, and the staff's charming too. I'm afraid they spoil me thoroughly, you know. They give me a huge double room on the first floor with a private bath attached. Oh, well, it's almost equally as good as private, because all the others are the Royal Snub business types, you know. They're almost always gone before yours truly has even opened her eyes.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm afraid I'm a bit of a naughty girl like that. I love to lay in my beddy by dreaming my dreams.
I wish that I could share your dreams with you.
Now that I did not hear. That I have decided completely to ignore. You're not nice to know, you know.
I'm so sorry. I'm so full of enthusiasm to have your friendship, to receive great pleasure from knowing you, that I said a stupid thing like that. Forgive me. I'm so very sorry.
Oh, well, you're forgiven. I was just going to ask you back to Dindin's with me.
Well, I would love to come. Please ask me.
They keep a smashing table at the Royalston, you know. We
really?
Nearly always have a second vegetable and always croutons with a soup. And if you ever feel like having half a bottle of Beaujolais, they practically fall over themselves backwards bringing it in for you. I always say, as long as there's enough to see me out, what happens afterwards, it's sans faire rien.
Oh, you speak French.
Un petit peu.
Oh, but you have got a very fine accent, you know.
Oh, you and your blue eyes.
No. I mean it. Listen, say this with me. Say this with me. We will speak French together. Are you ready?
Yes.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir?
Oh, you rotten egg. I'll set Bill Oakshot on to you.
Oh, you know what it means. You know what it means. You're a woman of the world.
Oh, come on. Let's go over to my hotel and have a talk.
I'd like to come and stand closer to you.
What are you doing?
Oh, nothing. Listen, I don't even know your name, you know?
Well, shall I tell you a very private name that Tufnell kept for me?
Please, please.
He used to call me Squidgy.
Oh, no. Squidgy.
Don't you think that's sweet?
It's beautiful for you. It fits you so perfectly.
Do you like this shade of blue?
Yes. What is this?
It's called Blue Toast.
Oh.
Tufnell used to go crackers about me and anything blue. He used to say, Squidgy, buy yourself a blue nighty. Make her eyes look like stars.
Oh. That is so sad, so beautiful.
I believe you're jealous.
Oh. come along. Now, shall we?
What are you doing?
No, I'm nothing. I'm just helping you from your deck chair.
Well, pick my bag up then.
All right. Come, let us go to your hotel.
Yeah, I don't belong to you yet. Oh. You know.
I'm so pleased that I had the chance of meeting you, you know?
This is a blanket.
Wasn't that lovely? That, as I said at the beginning, some of you may not have heard it with all that was going on. That was from Songs for Swingin' Sellers by Peter Sellers, and that was written by and featured Irene Handel, or Handel. It's probably Handel, H-A-N-D-L. And it was entitled Shadows on the Grass. That was in 1959, and as I said, 20 years later, Peter Sellers' final album, entitled Sellers Market, featured a reunion with Irene Handel in a piece entitled The Whispering Giant. And she, again, plays the same character, and here it is.
Excuse me, but yes? Would you think me awful if I asked you to change seats with me?
No.
I promise I won't kneel on it. Promise. Only I'm such a kid about looking out the window.
Yes, well...
I don't want to miss the sound barrister.
I know just exactly what you mean.
Thank you.
I really don't mind where I sit, inside or outside. I will just change the seats with you. There we are.
Oh, pardon.
Oh, God.
How most gallant of you. My late hubby went raving mad if I did that in the Rolls, especially if we had clients aboard. My two husbands. Chalk from Cheese. Tufnell, he was my first, so I used to call him Daddy. He used to love to see me kneeling up to the window with my thumb in my mouth. We only had a Morris Minor in those days, but we was happy.
Well, after all, that's all that matters, you know, happiness, huh?
Yes.
Happiness.
I saw your look.
You did?
Everyone looks when they hear I've been twice married. Of course, I married Tufnell straight from the schoolroom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd got no more idea of marrying than fly. That man, he treated me like I was rolled in gold. I was his sacred trust. He even kept a special name for me.
What was it?
I don't think I want to tell you.
Ah, but I want to know, I want to know. Come
he
on.
He called me Squidgy.
Squidgy? But that's very nice, Squidgy, eh?
Oh, yes. Oh, honestly, when he passed over, I thought my bottom had fallen out. Know what I did?
I don't know. What did you do?
Booked myself straight away for a cruise on the Cranberry.
Oh, yes, of course.
I've been all over the world on cruises, you know. A couple of times on the QED, but mostly on the Cranberry. She's my favourite. Of course, you get such commodorery on the liner.
Yes, yes, you do, yes.
Well, of course, I always sit at the captain's table. He and the purser, Frosty Fosdart, they rib me rotten when they spot my name on the A-deck passenger list again. Those two and our entertainment officer, Bill Beckley, they just took me under their wings. Well, Bill and me was inseparable. Quite a few eyebrows shot up at that, of course. But the short answer to that is no comment. And I will say this for Bill. When he came to parking, after our usual moonlight stroll, oh, the moon on the water and all those flying sardines, his manners was implacable. Just a touch of the hand, a brush of his lips on my shoulder, then nighty-night and beddy boys strictly on our ownsom. Oh, you know, sometimes when I walked into that empty cabin suite, I thought, you fool. But then I thought, no, Tufnell would have been proud of you. Carry on, Squidgy. And I'd lay down and sob my eyes out in my pillow till Frobisher crept into my stateroom with Madam's early tea. And it was time to don my mask again.
You must have felt very, very lonely. A very lonely woman.
I hope I haven't bored you.
No, not at all.
Only you're so sympathetic, one's tempted to unbosom.
Yes, yes.
Still, Pop's Mars second dozen wasn't so bad, I suppose. He'd done an awful lot of good by stealth. It was just a row he made whilst doing it. Vincent Dean Ratzenkeller.
What was that?
Vincent Dean Ratzenkeller. You must have heard the name.
No,
he
no.
owned that massive Hyper Deli on the Hendon Roundabout.
Oh, I see, yes.
Vince
yes.
Invincibles, oh. LTD.
Yes, yeah, I have heard of Vince Invincibles.
Yeah, well,
yes,
it's a clever play on his name.
Yes,
I just call him
is.
Pops. Oh, my dear, he deified that place. He ate, slept and drank it.
Mm.
You daren't make the least remark about it. Of course, nothing will ever convince me that Pops was a well man. For a start, his blood pressure was out of this world.
It was?
Plus, he had the usual gentleman's op.
Oh, yes, I know, yes.
I think that must have accounted for quite a bit. Well, I mean, it must have. He was so maniacally conscious of his status. He once threw a 5-pound tin of family assorted at my head. Caress was terrified.
What?
Well, she was my little girl by Tufnell. She was only a tot at the time. But that kind of thing bounces right off of me, and I don't mean family assorted. Still, I suppose I'll get married again. I mean, it's almost obligatory when you cruise as much as I do. But I swear I'll never, ever marry into trade again. Oh, Popsy's people was the frozen ultimate. No melting moments under the duvet for yours truly with Pops, though I happen to know he was having it off at the rate of knots with that kid at the quick cash counter. Still, he certainly did the right thing by Caress and me, considering she was the fruit of Tufnell's loins. I mean, when Pops actually popped, he left us better off than Tufnell, bless him. Actually, we're quits in. Of course, the family nearly went mad about it, but I kept my cool, because I knew Pops had always admired me for my breeding and my intellect, and that was his way of showing. So, net result, we got this beautiful Spanish style house at St. Clemente.
St. Clemente? Yes. Isn't that the place where Richard Burton live in Mexico?
No.
That?
No, silly. It's that exclusive residential area between Hendon and Mill Hill. In fact, to all intents and purposes, it is Mill Hill. Condoms, they call them. You
oh,
know the
yes,
sort of
yes.
thing.
Yes.
You know, indoor sauna, outdoor barbecue. It's even got a built-in leisure area. And all in trust for me, during my lifetime, when it passes on to little Donna after her mummy's demise.
Yes, I understand.
Yes. You don't believe I'm a grandma, do you?
No, I must admit I don't.
No, because I heard you gasp. But I am, and Donna's an absolute joy. She's as bright as a button. At 3 and a half, she was modelling for Kiddy Clobber. Would you believe? Of course, Pop's got her the job through friends in the trade.
I see, yes.
Oh, bless her, she's a little madam. She can wind her nana around her little finger and she knows it. No, the one I'm sorry for is Caress. Though there's times I'd like to bash her, she's got so little spunk. At 16, she goes and marries that bleeder, Quentin St. Ermine, the most illegible bachelor in town. You must have heard of him. Second son of a second son of a bitch, I call him.
No.
And a sans vestite on top of it.
Oh?
Yes, always getting into ladies' slumberware. Can't leave it alone, because he hates the sight of me. He blackguards me uphill, down, dale. I wouldn't soil your ears with some of the names he's called me. If it was me, I'd give him the rounds of the kitchen. But not Caress. She's just closed her eyes on the whole North seating mess. She's ridiculously loyal. She'd rather die than have little Donna know her daddy's a drunken ponce without two peas to rub together. I mean, as if the child hasn't guessed. You can't put anything over that
Richard.
Still, I got one thing to thank him for. It was him advised me to fly Concorde.
Ah. Hmm.
You get a better class of hardjacker up there. No rubbish on the big ones, squitters.
Squitters?
Squitters. That's Eton and Harrow for you.
Yeah.
Still, I'm jolly glad I took his tip, else I'd never have met up with you-know-who.
I don't know who.
Don't give me that.
No, I don't know who.
You must have noticed I've been gazing at you right through the flight. I've been putting the name to the face. You are whom I think you are, aren't you?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, I know you are. My woman's institution's never wrong. Wait till I tell Carice who I've been sitting next to on the Whispering Giant. That'll make her day, poor bitch. I'm going to get your autograph if that's the last thing I do.
I see, yes.
I wonder if you'd be an angel and mind signing your name on my bare arm.
Well, if that is what you really want,
well,
yes.
I've got a special signing pencil for the really greats. It's inedible, so that makes it semi-permanent.
I see, yes.
Come on.
All right. Wait a
moment. I'm waiting.
Here we go.
Oh, don't. You're tickling me. Oh, you rotten egg. You're doing it on purpose.
When?
Say when, or I'll open my eyes.
Say when.
No, you're supposed to say when.
Oh, when?
Peter Sellers. You must be joking. I don't believe it. Peter Sellers. Well, a nice meeting you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, well, thanks all the same.
Mm.
Wasn't that you in all those old Maygray films on telly? You know, you're always on a ship or train.
No, no, it wasn't.
Or going
no.
somewhere.
No.
You took a jolly good part as a detective.
Yes, that was me, yes.
But I always think the films are somewhat lacking.
You do, eh? Mm.
Anyway, I shall have to be wafting now to the little girl's room to powder my nose.
Good. Would you mind if I gave you a little advice?
Oh, do. Please do.
You know, and you must have heard of a Brillo pad.
Oh, yes.
In the kitchen, you know?
Oh, yes.
Well, I should try a Brillo pad on that arm that I've just signed. You'll find that Brillo pads rub off just about anything.
Oh, thank you. Well, I will if you don't mind. Thanks all the same. I mean, it's been lovely knowing you, but I really have reserved that space, you know. For my favourite, the Incredible Hulk.
I see.
That was Peter Sellers and Irene Handel with The Whispering Giant, that obviously referring to the Concorde on which they're traveling at the time. And that's about it for Irene Handel. That's about all I know of as far as her recorded work in comedy. As I say, she's done quite a few wonderful films. She never has a very large role in these films, but although I understand she had a her own television series in England, but she never had a very large role in these films, but she always brightens them up when she appears in them. Since we have some time left, I thought as long as we are featuring Peter Sellers as well, I might present a few little curios of my collection of Peter Sellers. Here's Peter Sellers as Laurence Olivier performing what will, I'm sure, be a familiar tune.
It has been a hard day's night, and I have been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know I work all day to get you money to buy you things. And it's worth it just to hear you say you are going to give me everything. That's why I love to come home. 'Cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home, everything seems to be right. When I'm home, feeling you, holding me tight, tight. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right.
I fell in love with an Englishman, a sweet and simple Singlishman. No Romeo, as I had planned. But oh, the thrill when he holds my hand. I thought I'd fall for that Latin love, but this is smooth as sand. Englishman, I just think, oh, Englishman. I met him at a party, the man I thought could only exist in my dreams. And I heard for the first time that voice, that wonderful voice that was to mean so much in my life.
Hello. Would you care for a sausage?
I thought at first it might have been the wine, but it was not. Then almost before I could recover my breath, he spoke to me again.
You will excuse me, won't you? But, you're sitting on my food salad.
I knew then that this was going to be something beautiful. He looked at me with those eyes, those heavenly cool blue eyes, and said,
Adair, you're not by the remotest chance interested in cricket, are you?
I suppose it was then that my life really began. Of course I adored his sense of humour. Every woman did. Those sparkling flashes of wit that were so characteristic, like the... yes, like the time he spilled a cup of tea down his trousers and said,
Oh, dear. I've gone and spilled tea all down my trousers.
And as time went by, I realized that beneath his cool exterior, he too was fighting to control his emotions. Now tell me, how could I resist this man? Darling. Darling. Hmm? Darling, I love you.
What?
I love you.
Ooh.
Take me. Take all of me. Oh, darling, if you knew how I've waited for this moment, how I've counted the seconds. Oh, my love, my dear, sweet, darling love, just hold me. Hold me tight. So tight, and tell me. Darling, my love, please tell me.
You are not English, are you?
He was like an animal, sensuous, barbaric, primitive. What hope had I of winning such a charming and sophisticated man of the world? Me. A poor, simple Italian girl. I remember once he said to me,
I said, Well, not really Italian. No, I'm really Italian. I mean, spaghetti and bolognese and all that sort of thing. God heavens above, I've been to that.
I still see him once in a while. But somehow I know that for him anyway, the magic is gone. But for me...
She's yet in love. Her mind goes tingling when she just thinks of English. Me? How silly. How strange.
That was Peter Sellers and Sophia Loren there, ending our salute to Peter Sellers and especially featuring Irene Handel. And that'll wrap up tonight's episode of Funny Stuff, tonight's edition, I should say. This is your host, Bob Claster. I hope you enjoyed it. Next week's program is Robert Klein, and that should be fun. For those of you who are keeping tabs on the Danny Kaye situation, we have, my wife and I, Kathy, have yet to be invited to Danny Kaye's house for Chinese food. We're still working on it. We're upping the ante, though, this week. We now we'll throw in doing the dishes. We will do the dishes. He still has to cook the Chinese food, and of course, we'll provide excellent company, and we'll be fun to have over, I'm sure, but now we will also do the dishes. So, Danny, we're trying to make you an offer you can't refuse. The address for that invitation, and for any of you that would like to send any comments, criticisms, requests, or whatever, is Bob Claster, Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. And until next week, this is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Good night, everybody.